I am, but I get the signal. We are good. Well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to our first bargaining session of the academic year of the 2022-23 academic year. This is collective bargaining between the Board of Trustees bargaining team and the UFF at UCF bargaining team. And, we're delighted to see everybody face-to-face. It's been a while since we've been able to do this, and it's nice to be able to take advantage of it. We know we've been hearing from a lot of people across campus that they're enjoying seeing colleagues and so forth, and I want to make it clear we're very excited to see all of you this afternoon. It's great to be back doing this. So we've got an agenda that we talked about by email to a lot. I'm just going to distribute this to our folks. And I've got mine. Charlie sent an extra one over that.
Hey, Chuck.
So we'd like to make one friendly amendment to the agenda, since we have some people that haven't been at bargaining sessions before, that we might introduce ourselves to everybody. So
that would be good.
No, we object.
It's always Robert. Okay, well, I'll take that in fun.
It was fun.
So. I'm Chuck Riley, Associate Provost and Chief Negotiator for the Board of Trustees.
I'm Sarah Potter, Associate General Counsel.
Craig Novick, Associate General Counsel, just joined UCF in late May, so excited to be here.
And we'll just keep going around.
Sure. Claudia Shippard, I'm on the bargaining team, Philosophy Department.
Talat Rahman, Professor of Physics, I'm Chief Negotiator for the union.
I'm Robert Casanella. I'm president of the union until I get impeached. We'll see how that goes.
And I'm vice president, so don't get impeached.
There can't be a peaceful transition.
Daniel Edens from Ed Leadership and CCIE. I'm on the bargaining team. And vice president.
Monique Levermore, Psychology Department, on the bargaining team.
Oh, I'm Briannis. I'm the admin assistant for
I'm Charlie Piper. I'm the director within contract compliance and administrative support. And then
Hilo Hernandez, associate dean and part of the BOT team.
And we'd be happy to know who else is joining us.
I'm Nicole Labrous. I'm a chemistry faculty. Danari Dennis, chemistry faculty.
I'm Anthony Altamore. I'm also a chemistry faculty.
Oh, cool. Welcome. Great. Hey, that's fantastic.
Well, so do I.
That's right.
Of course. Yes, I know. And I also do chemistry.
Yes. Sorry,
every time I do laundry, I do
chemistry. So, Chuck, before we get to the agenda, do we want to utilize the screen or anything for looking at articles? Or how do we?
Well, we hadn't planned on that, but we...
Is that what
can.
You plan to do with your article?
No, we didn't. I just thought of it, seeing the screen and everything.
Well, since we're talking about how we're going to do things in the future, that's
let's just
perhaps
talk
one
about
thing
that.
We,
yeah.
can, we can talk
yeah.
about. So I'm glad you brought that up, probably.
Yeah. I mean, we could do it on let's
since we
see.
Have guests and everything. I don't
right,
know.
Right, 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 right. It might be a good idea to put it on the screen. And
well, we do have hard copies, so.
Yeah.
Do we have enough hard copies for
I'm
pretty sure.
For our guests?
We'll make sure we do when the time comes.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. But we should talk about the format, and then if we need to put things on the, we can do that.
So, I know we had an informal meeting a month or so ago where we talked about these meetings, our bargaining sessions, and how we might conduct them. What I communicated at that time is still the case. Our preference is to do things face-to-face, and we understand that your preference may be to do otherwise. And we're open to talking about how we might do some kind of a mix of different modalities, perhaps sometimes be here, other times do this remotely, And we did it remotely where we are flashing things on the screens and sharing things that would look very similar if we did that here as well. So, and would save some trees, which is okay with me. So, you know, maybe that's something that we could do. When we talk about the possibility of using more than one modality for these meetings, one of the things that we brought up was the idea that we would ask that we have some ground rules for how we conduct ourselves, whether we're here or with some kind of a virtual format. I don't think it matters. We want to. So what I'd like to share with you is something that we're proposing as at least talking points for some ground rules for how we operate. Is that okay?
Yep.
So if you could pass look on this side. Thank you. The only difference is these are larger print. We're not making any statement.
Ours are larger print.
This is good preparation for my golden year.
I'm already there.
Okay, so, excuse me, what we had put here as a proposal for what we might include as ground rules is, first of all, that all attendees would conduct themselves professionally and respectfully, regardless of the mode, whether we're face-to-face or doing things virtually. And I know that's something that we had mentioned when we had our informal meeting. And then also that all speakers will appear on camera during meetings that are conducted in a virtual format. When we're here face-to-face, there's no question we know who's speaking, we know what they look like. When we do it virtually, we think that the speakers should be clearly identified. And along the same lines, during virtual meetings, all attendees identify themselves by first and last names, that phone numbers don't really tell us who it is we're dealing with. And then only bargaining team members may use the chat feature during joint sessions of virtual bargaining meetings, but each team could decide on their own how they would use the chat feature during any virtual caucuses that they have. And then the final two rules, that you know, these ground rules shall remain in effect indefinitely, but the final one says the ground rules may be amended at any time by mutual agreement of the parties.
Two questions?
Absolutely.
Okay, the second one, when you say all speakers, do you mean when a person is speaking, they're in view, but if they're not speaking, they can turn their video on?
Yes, while speaking, I think they
should
be.
So it's while, not that they're authorized speaker during the meeting. Okay. The second thing is the chat. I mean, do you have the capabilities to only let certain people chat and others not? Because I would imagine that either everyone chats or no one chats. I'm not sure how Zoom works, but
No, you can.
So you can designate.
You can designate who can chat and who cannot.
That's beyond my level of technology.
Me too. That's why I asked. That's why I need the
I'm
big
so
print.
I'm so glad we have all these physicists and chemists with us to explain to us how all that works.
All right.
So the clarification, and I think what you just did, is that people should have their camera on when they're speaking.
When they're speaking.
They don't have to have it on the whole time, because that can be a distraction. So okay.
Yeah, there will be too many cats.
Yeah. Yeah, we've seen that. A lot of cats. And so when they're speaking, they should, and then, of course, they speak only if they are given that privilege, right? And because not...
Well, I guess I would assume most of the time the bargaining team members would probably have their cameras on if we
right.
were virtually. But
because
we never know when one of us is going to.
That is actually a very good point. And
so, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I think we did have team members who did not have their camera on. But I agree with you that it should be, we should have the camera on. And what we need to ensure is that everyone has the capability. So that is something we need to look into.
So,
Can I introduce something?
Please.
That might be added to this? Can, I'm assuming you all are going to control the Zoom, right?
We'll set it up.
Right. So.
Brandis, how much chemistry and physics do you know?
It's not our team. It's either Zoom or Teams.
Okay. Does team have chat?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Does team's chat create a log?
I don't know.
So if there's a log created based on chats, UFF wants the log after the meeting as part of the, you know.
Also, you know, I would prefer that we use Zoom rather than Teams. Because mm-hmm. Teams still has a few things to be worked out.
Yeah, it's so kind of limiting, I think, Teams.
Well, we agree that, you know, as of today, I think we would prefer to use Zoom. Mm-hmm. But
no,
if
later
we're saying that these are ground rules that are in place indefinitely, there's no change, we may be using a different format.
Of course, and it could be that, you know, Teams become the more, you know, because of some things like I was at a German university and there they will not allow Zoom. Hmm. So because of something that happened early in the year. And so yes, so that can happen. But right now Zoom seems to be working okay for us. So that would be fine. I think I don't see anything problematic. How about
the amendment is if a chat record is produced, it will be shared as part of the record of the minutes of the meeting, right?
Right.
I don't know if it has to be part of the minutes, but it has to be given to.
But
it's
shared.
Part of the record.
Should be shared.
Yeah.
Part of the official.
Maybe
record.
Delivered to the president, and then I'll distribute it on my.
Oh, I see. So.
Yeah, and also just for the record, we record all the meetings, right?
Yes.
Right. I understand that. Just making.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be in the agenda, right?
If you want, we can.
No.
Well,
all meetings are
always done.
They're always
making sure.
Meetings are always.
And we have every intention of continuing to
right.
do.
Yeah. Okay.
That's why Brannis doesn't let me push those buttons.
Right.
Okay.
So we know we are
that
recorded.
That's going on. No, that's fine. So, anybody? Did you see anything in here that?
There's one more thing I would point out because of some of the remarks you made. If we looked at the second bullet point and said all bargaining team members and speakers, just make it clear that. Bargaining team members, what I was hearing is would maintain their camera on if we were doing this virtually, and then if there's anyone that's asked to speak, sometimes.
Well, maybe that wasn't my intent because, you know, maybe what we want is when they are speaking. Because, you know, they may want to not have the camera on the whole time. I'm not sure.
What is it that you're trying to avoid or get at with that point?
What we're trying to avoid is people who are speaking and we can't look at them.
Okay.
So when they're speaking, they should definitely have their... What we should say is that bargaining team members from both sides are encouraged to have their camera on, and they must have their camera on when they're speaking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's something that captures what we were saying.
And they must unmute when they're speaking. How's that?
Can
we include that?
No. You guys can stay up here.
Robert, I had a question about the Zoom chat. Would you want it for the joint session? Because I think when you're in caucus, there would
mm-hmm.
probably also be chats, but those I think should stay.
I believe.
We don't have access to it, so that
we don't have chat.
Right, and
we
shouldn't. But I didn't want you expecting necessarily that, like, if we have a BOT caucus
right.
chat. That
oh, I see what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you would
remove
the BOT. Yeah, but I would assume if it's set up, if we go into caucus. Only the people who have the authority can chat in the caucus, right? It won't be undone. The settings, I don't know how it all works.
Well, the way it works right now is when we are in caucus, we do not use chat. Typically.
It's not being recorded.
Because
recording is paused.
Because you don't need to be doing chat when you're in caucus. So I think
Sharing documents or something.
You're sharing, unless you're sharing documents. So what we could do is we could see how things go, and if this hampers either side, then we could look into that, because these are technical things.
Yeah.
But I think the intent is the same, that we want everything to be professional, we want people to be visible when they're speaking, because then we know who's speaking, and
right.
we don't want to
roll. Right, and we want that, for the record, we want the chat that's on record, not anything else.
Yeah.
So can we just maybe say that if meeting via Zoom, the chat recording is part of the official record. Then any chat that's there is part of the same way that the recording that we're doing is part of the record. And
well, this actually gets to your point, Chuck, because what you don't want is superficial stuff being communicated in chat. that whatever is in chat is meant to be taken seriously. Right?
Right.
I mean, that's
and we want to have a written record of any links or references that are
mm-hmm.
made
mm-hmm.
as you do
mm-hmm.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think these are some good suggestions
that
that we want to incorporate. Is it okay if we go back and try to implement these, and maybe you and I can communicate by email
right.
to see whether we've
I can show you how to manage chat.
Oh boy.
And then
Brianna's knows all about it.
Hopefully by the time we get together again,
we've
agreed
right.
to be okay. But I'm not hearing much disagreement here. I think we both want to do the same kind
of
thing.
I think the only thing is that, how do we move forward? Should we have all meetings virtually this semester? I would say we just take one semester at a time.
Yeah, we're always scheduled for,
yeah.
one semester at a time right now.
Yeah.
What we'd like to do, if you're amenable to this, obviously,
we're
very pleased with that. We would suggest that we alternate so the next meeting would be.
So what
virtual.
Are the dates of the meeting? We have to have that
every 3 weeks. Briannis, when is the next one?
The next one is
October.
Is that the Wednesday?
Mm-hmm. It's a Wednesday.
Yeah. Is it the 19th?
Yes.
We lucked out.
Right. Why?
I'm going to be here.
Excellent. And then.
Wait,
but
the next
one
is going to be Zoom.
That one's on Zoom. So.
Oh, that's one is Zoom.
And November 16th.
October 19th.
And then?
October 26th is consultation.
November 26th? No,
November
that's
16th.
Thanksgiving.
16th. November 16th.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then I will plan accordingly.
And then December 14th.
So on November 16th, we'd be in here again, face to face.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And then what's the December?
14th.
We'll be back.
Yeah,
we need to talk about that face to face.
Yeah.
That people who are on Connect campuses, including me.
Right.
The burden of coming to this campus without a parking pass and finding this building, which I've been to, this is the second time I've been to Milligan Hall.
Oh, really?
So, is significant.
So
is there a way of having it as a hybrid meeting? Put a camera there, put the Zoom thing up there.
I've been involved in some hybrid meetings in this room, and it hasn't worked splendidly, to tell you the truth.
It typically does not. But we definitely, the way it doesn't work is if you want people on Zoom to speak.
We don't want them to speak.
Well, then I think, when we're meeting here, so there are two things to do. One is that November 16th, we also have it via Zoom, because we only are talking about one meeting. Or we have it hybrid, in which case we have access, we give people, So if hybrid can be done, then maybe that would be that would solve
mm-hmm.
the problem.
Well, we won't record the Zoom, though, probably.
The Zoom would really more be a function of visitor, spectator.
Correct.
Monique's
or
would be the recording from the meeting. If we're present, we would use the present mm-hmm. recording. And you're right that the Zoom would be more of the gallery.
But if you're speaking on Zoom, then this would record it.
Correct.
So I think we're okay.
But in that case, we wouldn't be recording the chat
no.
log. Just so
no.
you know.
No, that's right.
I'm just trying to fill it in all holes.
Yeah, I think so. Yes, for the hybrid. So what we're thinking is that basically, because you won't be expecting people on Zoom, we would be, right? There would be more on our end, because we have other people from other campuses. So maybe we can handle it. I mean, we can work it out. Why don't we work out the details?
So I guess what we're saying is, can we have the permission to run a Zoom meeting while we're having the live meeting? Can we can we broadcast, so to speak, to a controlled group of visitors on a Zoom meeting for access the live meeting?
Yeah.
So that's what we're asking, right?
So yeah. My thing is that I would like to talk to the technical person who will do it, right? Because, Chuck, you're not going to be doing it.
That's right. It won't work very well.
So I think the main thing about Zoom is that we provide access to people. And, I mean, I don't think this should hold us up. You know, I think what we're talking about is basically anyone who wants to be on Zoom have access. Up to 300 people. I don't think we're expecting 300.
I don't think we're set up for 300, though. I think we're set up for 100.
No. So the thing is that it is the UCF Zoom that we're using anyway. Mm-hmm. The question is, who sets it up, right?
But it would be you, correct?
You just log
We that's what we're thinking. Yeah.
For the in-person, though, not the...
For the in-person.
For the other one, you guys will set it up, like you've always done. But for the in-person one on November 16th, we can set it up. I mean, we're probably going to get the help from the same person. Because none of us have... Main thing is that you want it so that the room is such that it is audio equipped, right? This room must be.
It is.
So you have people on Zoom.
It doesn't work splendidly.
I think we can do this without any of their services. Right, Clyde?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I got a microphone that would pick up the entire room.
No. What you want is you want the person on Zoom to be seeing everything here. Okay, so...
Yeah.
If this were my computer and this is Zoom,
This
is where all the people would be sitting and watching.
That's different from the way rooms are set up, because the way we have rooms, which is this is one of the rooms.
So you log in, and as you speak, the camera will spin around and show each person.
Yeah. Oh, well, I wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking about the low-tech version.
Just
a wide...
No, that's not that good.
I like Claudia's low-tech version. It's really simple.
Yeah, the low-tech version is not what I was thinking, because I was thinking of the one where they can see every action here. But if we are happy with the low-tech version, then that's what we'll do.
If they have fixed this equipment, I think we could use it in here. But I know I've been a remote attendee for meetings in this room, and it was so frustrating because I couldn't hear half what was being said.
Uh-huh.
So your audience members would be, I think, disappointed.
Okay, then maybe what we do is if you guys can set it up, then we set it up.
I would say hopefully they've improved it, because we wanted to use this room for some of our office's purposes, and we decided we couldn't, so we ended up using our conference room because this audio equipment was pretty unreliable, but it's possible they fixed it. So we could just check with IT and see if they've improved it or if it's been acting up.
I can work on
figuring it out. Okay. So is that okay?
So, hang on.
We'll figure out the details.
All right. So, can Claudia interface with you all about the tech
whoever knows the tech about that?
We can make sure.
As long as
right
we're
person.
In agreement that the goal is to enable people who can't be here to watch and participate without that being recorded or anything like that, we'll figure out if it's the low tech version or the higher tech version. If that's fine for the live meeting.
Could we agree for the live meeting that at least some, I don't know if we say a majority of your team is here in person?
Oh, yeah,
though?
We're going to be
okay.
here.
Okay, we're not talking to them.
No, we're not talking about the big.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everyone
I have to
who's
be here because my laptop will be here.
Okay.
So.
But that, I don't want to guarantee a majority.
Okay.
But everyone who will speak will be in the
room. Yeah, there's a lot of people on their team.
Yeah,
majority would be alive. Right. True. Okay. Yeah, I just want to make sure we weren't.
I invited my aunt, if you don't mind.
If you're close.
And then, what is the date in December?
14th.
Oh, it's December 14th.
Yeah. And that'll be Zoom.
And that's Zoom.
Yeah.
So, like the 16th, face to face.
Okay. So October 19th, November 16th, December 14th. Okay.
Yes. my team want to take five for a caucus?
You are the person in charge of caucuses, so
we'd like
say.
To just take five. We'll be,
it'll be back
momentarily.
Okay, how long?
Five.
True five.
All right. Two.
See you in Zoom in
5 minutes.
So Robert, what I do? Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. We appreciate you accommodating us, so we can have a brief caucus. A couple of questions. We just want to make sure that we understand. Your side wants to, on the dates that we have a hybrid meeting, which in this semester is on the 16th of November, you want to take care of the technical things. You're going to handle all of that stuff, right?
We would like permission to have some sort of a device and connection here that allows a Zoom meeting to take place in this room with the purpose of allowing members of our bargaining unit to watch and listen in on what the proceedings are.
Would their images show on the screens here?
If you want to, then you have to give me cable to connect it. Otherwise, there'll be very tiny squares on the laptop.
Okay, but I'm talking about these screens. So you're planning just to use the laptop?
It doesn't matter to me. Our interest is that folks cannot be here, can see or listen in on what's going on. Mm-hmm. If you feel more comfortable hooking them up to the screen so you can see who's watching or listening, that's fine, but that's not a primary interest of ours.
Okay, and I think that's fine.
Okay.
Because the people who are here, whoever happens to be
yeah,
here,
we're gonna
are
be
gonna
here.
Be the people who are speaking and
correct.
Actually participating in the meeting. So these are passive attendees mm-hmm. at the meeting.
Except when Monique might be there, right?
Yeah, I hope to be here in person.
Okay.
But we'll see what happens.
We get you a
parking and all
we want you to be here, but I'm hearing two different things, that only the people who are here are going to be speaking, but what if Monique is one of the ones who's...
So Monique has to make up her mind.
I will be here on the 16th.
Okay.
I might be late, but I'll be here.
Excellent.
With the exception of emergencies where Talat might phone in from the car shop where her broken down car is or something, we plan on being here.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So I think we are fine if your laptop is the primary device, because when I look at some of the other things that we've got here, if we start displaying names, or excuse me,
images.
Displaying images up here, we would want to see the names, and I don't care what you do on your laptop, so
yeah, we don't. That's not going to be a public record.
No,
that's
no.
why. That's why we have to make a division,
yep.
So that won't be a public
yep.
record.
That's
okay, I think we are good.
Yeah.
For this, let's give it a try. See how it works for the rest of this semester, and going forward, we'll have to talk about things again at some point. But for this semester,
thanks for making this.
You amended this with our.
I'm going to. I haven't done that
yeah.
yet.
And I would like to tell you that I just changed my travel plans.
Oh,
because,
thank you.
Because I was leaving on November 15th, but I haven't bought the ticket. That's okay. I'll be here.
Okay.
One extra day is better.
Okay.
Stay in the time zone.
Yeah. That's fine. I think we're fine.
Okay. So then, just to recap, I took some notes over what was said.
Yep.
Talat, I'll send you a new draft of this. You and I can go back and forth. We'll try to get this wrapped up.
That'd be great.
I think we're in agreement. We may have some commas and so
sure.
forth that we put in different places. But
yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Great.
So okay. I think you are up to talk about Article 23.
We are going to go without, why waste time, right? So Article 23, as we all know, is very important. It has become increasingly important.
We only have two of the track changes.
Okay.
So this is the actual clean version of our proposal, and for those of you who would like to see what exactly was changed, there's also a printout of the track change.
Talat, can you just
take
a moment to forward it to Brianna, and she can make just a couple more track changes?
No, she won't be able to, because I spent an hour, and I could not...
Oh, here.
Take this one more.
Now we got more.
Yep.
One more.
Because
Craig
it is done in a format that doesn't lend itself to getting printed. So I will send it to you, but you can
send. Well, I need a copy after
this. It is a new
Yeah, that's what we're going to do anyway.
Isn't it a new proposal?
No, I need an electronic copy for the record.
So you want me to send it to Brianna?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, we can send it.
She can make more copies.
Yeah. No, we will give you the electronic, but don't waste your time trying to print it.
Oh.
That was the problem. Electronic is not a problem. I had Nikita help me for half an hour.
If you needed more electronic copies, I was willing to.
I have the ones with the changes.
Without the track changes, I can't see anything, so I'll look at this. Thank you.
Black and white, Charlie.
Because it doesn't have the track changes. I
can
see it.
23,
this has the changes in it already.
You got the one with track changes, right?
Yeah, we're sharing it.
You're sharing that. Is that okay?
Does everybody have some version of what we're proposing?
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
Would you like to have one more? Or are you guys good?
Because I think we're okay right now.
I just want to point out virtually we would not be having this problem. For the record.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you for that feedback.
No problem.
But did you email it?
I'm right now.
Okay. You can email
my
it to
keyboard
everyone.
Broke,
okay.
So
all right. So... I know. Oh, no. Are we all set?
I don't know yet. Go ahead.
Article 23. Did you guys have a copy of the one with the change? Yeah. Because those are the ones with the changes in it. And I know we needed the ones with the changes in color. And actually, if somebody else needs it, I can give you one.
We're good.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're sharing? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. So essentially, what we did here is this is the one from last year. This is Article 23. And some of the dates we have changed just to make you aware of that. And since we are already, what is the date today?
21st.
Yeah, so we're already pretty close. So we'll probably, of course the date had to be something after today. And we're pretty sure that it will be shifted further. But that's basically what we are proposing, and so essentially, what we are doing here is that this is a 2-year. So the summary is that it's a 2-year. We are requesting a 2-year commitment here, and the first one is promotion increases. Okay.
The first change.
Yes. So what we have here is that we have gone. This is when you are going from assistant to associate professor. The present amount is 9%, and what we are requesting here is 11%, and I'll give you a rationale for that. And the one from promotion from associate to full professor is 10 at the moment, and we're requesting 12%. And there are several reasons for that. First of all, we essentially, when we're looking at inflation, we're looking at everything that is around. This is the one opportunity that we have for people's salaries to increase when they have this promotion. So this happens twice a year. It doesn't quite help with our issues with compression, but to some extent it does. You know, so that is one. The other is that we also looked at what were the percentage increases that were being offered at other Florida universities. And what we had before 9 was at the low end of it. We are not the only one offering 9. I think UF is offering 9 as well. But then there are a good number of others that are offering. I was actually pleasantly surprised to see how many were offering. So if you want, I can bring the, you know, give a comparison. And so we looked at that and we thought that, you know, that this would be a reasonable request to make. Part of what you will see, and this will be a recurring theme in a lot of what we are talking about, is that we realize, you know, there are, 11 universities in the Florida system. We are in the middle, not in the middle of the pack, we are sort of in the top, among the top 4, we like to believe. So when we look at ourselves in terms of where we stand with respect to our ranking and the quality that we of students that we try to produce, the faculty we try to hire, we think of ourselves as being in the top tier. We think that, you know, we have been able to hire people away from the ones that are supposedly highly ranked higher than us. So basically what we, our assumption is that we are among the top tier universities in Florida, and we want to get even better. And so part of what is behind all of that is being able to hire excellent faculty and being able to retain them. And those are things, for that we have to be competitive. And we couldn't be paying faculty, you know, when we are comparing with Florida universities, we couldn't be at the bottom of the of the pile there. So in terms of promotion and increases, I had actually, I didn't know that other places were offering much more, but it turns out they do. And what we were doing, 9% for assistant to when we get promoted to associate professor, is really among the lower, is the lowest number. So that's why we are requesting that that number be changed to 11% and the other one to 12% correspondingly. So that's the rationale for that. Any questions on that, or can I?
No, I think I understand that.
Okay, so then the next is, of course, these are what you see in red are just making sure that the numbers are correct in the sense that we are starting the discussion on September 21st, so we put the date here as effective October 7th. Then essentially we have taken the old proposal that, I mean, old Article 23, and made changes in that, and the one difference is that we are asking for that we negotiate a two-year salary increase for a couple of reasons. This will set a lot of people at ease if we do get a two-year raise, negotiated. We are doing two and not three because, you know, we are going to start, the full book will start again, right? So the two will be really helpful. Part of it, as you can see from the, you know, people who turned up at these meetings and all that, is that this is something that everyone is really concerned about. And the way everything has gone up, in terms of in increases. So I just give you some numbers. So consumer price index, I'm sure you know all of this, but consumer price index increase in the year ending February 2022 was 8.4%. And by June, it had already become 9.1%, right? The other is that, and I can give you references to these if you want, the overall inflation in the U.S. In March 2022, it was at 6.56%. Then there are a few other measures. We also have seen that even Social Security has made some adjustments, right? They've given a 5.9% increase. And then raises for state employees, other than those in higher education, has been at 5.38%. So when you're looking at the raises that we got, which was 2.5% for most people and 3.5% for those who are making less than 48,000, then it does, make you a question, what should that number be? Because, you know, when you're asking, we can't just come and say, give us 15%, right? I mean, we have to have a rationale for whatever we are asking, because we know that, that there are limits and we should not be just getting a number out of nowhere. So we did a little bit of homework, looked at the numbers, and when we did that, we thought that in our view, a modest increase of 7% is what we are asking, and that is again based on the numbers that I've mentioned to you. Orlando has gone, I mean, although I just read news that maybe prices of houses may be going down, but it has the, I mean, it's been a tremendous increase. I don't know, Craig, do you live in this? You didn't live in this area before, right?
I've been here a long time.
Oh, you've been here a long time.
I'm just new to UCF.
You didn't have to buy a house right now. But you know, I mean, I'm getting calls all the time saying, do you want to sell your house? So it's just amazing, right? So this has really, really gone quite a bit. So that is part of the reason for that. And so we think that if we could get a 2-year commitment of a 7% increase, then that would be very helpful.
I want to make sure I'm reading this right. It's 7%. This year and 7% next year.
Yeah, that's what you're asking, and this question, and we're asking across the board 7%. Although if you know there is, if some considerations were to be given for colleagues who make less than a certain amount, then we'll have to. We are open to that negotiation. The reason for asking across the board is because, if you think about, the question comes up, why don't we break it up into merit and various other factors? The point is that everyone is hurting, and what they have gone through, COVID, and then if you look at contributions that people make, we think everyone plays a very important role. In fact, I would personally say that those who get paid less actually are contributing even more. And because I know that I can't have the privileges that I have if my colleagues who are teaching 3 courses a semester don't do that, because then my teaching load would go up, and if my teaching load goes up, then I cannot bring the research money that I can. And so I think we work together because we work as a whole, and therefore it is important that everyone be recognized and that we acknowledge the contributions that people make. The last thing I was going to say, and this was connected with the fact that when we look at ourselves in the Florida system, but we don't even have to do that. We can look at us as the whole U.S., and I think we made that point clear last time too. The student to faculty ratio is the highest among any research intensive university. We are really at the bottom when it comes to the number of faculty that we have per student. So our faculty have to put in a lot more effort to keep us where we are. And I think just for that reason, it is important that we recognize and reward faculty accordingly. So we could have asked for more, but we thought that a reasonable amount would be at 7%. So that's what we have. That's not the only, there's a couple other things though. I think that's the main one. And then I think
the one point, the one-time payment is simply to bring up the difference from the implementation.
Yeah, that's the one-time payment, right, thank you. That is the one, because we are, salaries, we start August 8th, so there's a one-time payment, and again, that will all have to be worked out in the end.
That's in 2B.
Yeah. In 2B, right. And then I think the other substantial, okay, and then I think we had this.
Excuse me, the one-time payment is proposed for 2022 only. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. Yes. Yes. So there is this, I think on 23 point, I think that's the point that we've always discussed. This is 23.4, and this is, I think we were able to work on this last time. This is in the appropriate auxiliary account. I think we'll have to go over this. You know, we had a discussion last time, and basically BOT was able to provide everyone the salary increases. This issue comes up with the faculty who are paid by auxiliary accounts.
What we did when we did the salary increases is there were a lot of phone calls that were made to the auxiliary units to make sure that they could cover it. So
yeah.
In the bargaining session, excuse me, we could say we're comfortable that we're going to be able to
yeah.
to do that. But
yeah.
the money for those raises came from those sources.
I totally understand.
On the one-time payments, where it's not a recurring
yeah.
thing, I believe there were E&G funds that were used in the summer
to do
for
that,
the one-time
yeah.
payment,
mm-hmm.
including to C&G and auxiliary employees. But that's not necessarily doable when we're talking about recurring expenses.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
mm-hmm.
So we got to look at that.
We'll look
carefully.
At that. We will look at that. I just wanted you to note that. We have requested here 15 more incentive awards, and our rationale for that is that we are increasing, we are hiring more faculty. I hear that we will be hiring a good number this year, and also incentive awards. So this is, we're talking about 15, that's basically, you know, $45,000, right? So big. But it is recurring money. It is, because each award is 5,000, and so that is, and what we are, the way we've divided it up is that we will increase the number of tip awards from 55 to 62. Do you have that?
Yes, I
yeah.
see
that. And the RIA also to 62. And this is again a way of retention. Something that we would like to know from you, you know, we have heard that a number of faculty have left. We also hear that a number of faculty are going to be hired. It would be good for us to know what the numbers are, you know, both in terms of what we are looking forward to do in terms of hiring and in terms of how many was the attrition. So part of what is going on is that Florida as a state is not right now very conducive to bring in a diverse group of people because of certain state laws that are being talked about, and that has affected some faculty and they have left. So it would be good for us to know how many people we have lost, how many colleagues we've lost, and what are the plans to, you know, hire, and that way we can be more realistic about the numbers that we ask. So this is 62, and then we increased the SOTL award, that we have 5, and we increased that number by 1 to 6. So I think, is there any change that I'm overlooking? Oh,
yep.
There's
one
change, yes. So again, the thing was, is there a rationale for that? Well, the rationale is that, you know.
What are we talking about now?
This is, Chuck spotted it. This is the 2,000 to 2,500.
Yes,
yeah. And so this is the one-time payment on Excellence Awards. And yeah, so one-time on Excellence. So. Again, 2000, we've been doing that for a number of years. Given inflation, given everything else, it seems to make sense to increase that to 2,500. I think, wait, there's a little bit of something there. Right, there is that in, and again, you know, I'm sure that there'll be discussions, but I did want to point out that there are, in the section of ADI, special achievements, merit, and similar special situations. So those are.
What's the rationale behind striking merit?
All
of them, but merit is, they all kind of add up to merit.
Well, special achievement, but I guess special achievements is vague. I think it's the vagueness that the caucus was, and then similar special situations. I think the we can have we can get back in together to talk about the merit in particular. But I think what was bothering caucus members was the vagueness.
like special achievements and similar special situations.
What's the rationale behind removing merit?
That's actually...
There's no operational definition for merit.
Go ahead.
There's no operational definition for merit. Like, coming up with some criteria for what the merit would be helpful.
Well, one thing that, you know, I think we don't want to lose sight of, it says administrative discretion. So the whole idea is the administration is making a decision that this person is worthy of merit. It's not that there's necessarily a checklist or a formal definition, and it could take a lot of forms. Once we put a checklist in there, those are the only things that can be recognized as merit. And you know, there are a number of things. We were very fortunate a couple of years ago that one of our faculty was elected to the National Academy of Engineering. You know, that's an example of, you know, a very special achievement, I would say. And there are others. I don't know about all the things that people in the arts and humanities might accomplish, the ways that they might be recognized. I'm more familiar with what happens in fields like engineering. But for those situations,
right.
And you know, we'll talk. We'll talk about the provost.
Yeah.
But I know I was in a meeting with the provost and the president last year when we were going through this. I know how important the president thinks that the ADI is for exactly the reasons you were talking about, retention. There are people who are doing exceedingly well, and everybody on the planet knows it.
Yeah, I mean.
And this is an opportunity to retain some of those quality faculty. And that's frequently how that's used.
Yeah.
Just for the record, I think there's a typo on your part. I think it goes from 8, part of the Excellence Awards, you've lost the header 23.7 for ADI. So what that does is it kind of shifts everything in a weird way that I don't think you intended.
No, and that is my problem. I mean, I didn't. And in fact, printing it out was even worse.
Yeah, I can provide you, I think, maybe with a copy that is a little easier for you.
That would be much easier. Much better. I don't know why I had so much trouble with this one.
Okay.
But I blame John Rabel, who's not here, so I can blame
him. We second that motion, since he's not here.
I mean, I couldn't believe I spent a whole hour on this. And you're right, even after that, we lost it. But you know, those are all points for discussion. And we are also a rather heterogeneous group. So, you know, people come from different perspectives. And I think one of the problems that comes up is that when things are vague, then people feel that, you know, subjective decisions are being made, which of course they are.
It's discretion.
Yeah, that's what we're supposed to be doing. That's what I was curious with the thought. I understand that's no definition, but it is an opportunity.
I've seen these things from both sides.
Of course you have. That's why I asked you, because I know that you've seen an opportunity to give someone merit.
And honestly, what I would like, and I know this has been recorded, I would really like that to be used for merit. Because, you know, we didn't ask for merit separately in the salary increases. But, you know, what we see is that the 1.7% that you don't use all of it. And if that could be used for merit, that would be really good, because that would be a way. But I know that money has to come from somewhere.
That's right. It has to come from the colleges.
Yes, I know.
And just to be sure, we agreed to 1.5, not 1.7.
1.5. Okay, sorry about that.
1.5.
I think that's what it is from the
1.7 is on the recording.
That's exactly why I wanted to be making.
Thank you.
I just wanted to make sure. So there was no intent to shift the numbering. That's all an error.
No, that's an error. That's an error in the printing.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
So ADI is back to A, F is B, G is C.
Exactly.
Okay. Next.
Alright, should we? Do we do 22?
We can.
That's on the agenda.
I want to thank you for 23. Excuse me. We will take it all under advisement. We'll speak to the provost and others about this. We're glad to know
that we've at least got started.
Yeah. And we understand your position. Please,
yeah.
It's very clear.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. And then the electronic copy you sent already?
Yeah, I sent it to Bronze.
Okay.
Bronze, did you get both copies?
Okay, good. All right.
And
if you want
22?
Me to do it on the other, yeah, go ahead with 22. Yeah, we might as well get ours done because it's in the... So now that one you've seen track change, but I don't have it in color, but you can...
Oh,
I
don't care about the color. I can't
Oh,
no, I don't care. Yeah, as long as I can see.
Yeah,
right.
So let's see when you guys are ready. So again, when we're talking about sabbaticals and PDL, what's behind in our thinking is that these are the two perks that are important. And particularly to retain and also recruit excellent faculty. Both in terms of tenured faculty, because sabbatical only applies to tenured, although there's a provision here that I'll mention what we have in mind. But we're really concerned about the professional development programs, and the reason for that is that UCF relies so much on non-tenure earning faculty, on instructors, on lecturers, on other professionals in more ways than other Research One universities do. And again, you know, I'm not comparing ourselves to the bottom of the pack. I think that UCF is in the top of the pack with UF, FSU, and USF, and that's how we are always being evaluated. So I think that in that pack, we are at the bottom end of it in terms of the faculty load, and also in terms of the ratio of tenured to non-tenure earning members. And because of that, the PDL is very important, because people who are teaching three courses a semester or four courses a semester, they need a break. And they need a break not to go and have a good time, but they need a break to advance their careers professionally. Because what we're looking for, you know, and we're very thankful that UCF has the ladder for instructors and for lecturers. And the point is that, you know, when you go up that ladder, you want people to be able to show something that they have achieved. You know, you want them to show that they have excelled in developing new courses, or they have done research, or they have written a book, or they have done some other scholarly activity. And that you cannot do when you're teaching 3 to 4 courses a semester. So since we have the ladder, we do want to give people the opportunity. So this professional development leave is very important. So one of the thing behind all of what we're doing here is that we want to make sure that the PDLs are treated the same way as sabbaticals are. So that's one of the thoughts behind what we're going on. So in terms of changes, let me get to the concrete ones here. So what we're saying right now we have one semester at full pay and two semesters at 3/4 pay, right? What we are asking is that whether a person gets one semester or two semesters should depend on the quality of the application that they're making and the amount of time that they need to get the job done, and that both be at full pay. So in other words, when we're talking about competitive sabbaticals, that, you know, there are certain projects that need only a semester, there are other projects that need a full year, two semesters. So we would like people to take advantage. In fact, what we were reminded is that there are colleges where people are not taking advantage of sabbaticals. And in fact, I was told that in engineering, you don't have not all sabbaticals are being, spots
That's
are
possible.
Being used. Yeah.
That's possible.
So part of it is that, you know, if a colleague could be helped by taking a 2-semester sabbatical, which may mean the whole year, and get something done which enables them, when they come back, to further advance in their research or in their teaching or in their own professional capacity, then letting them take 2 semesters at full pay makes sense. Right now, some people may not be going for 2 semesters, even though the project that they want to accomplish needs 2 semesters, and that's because they have to come up with 25% of their salary right now. So that's why that's the rationale behind that. Okay. I was mentioning it, and again, we are a very heterogeneous group. So I was mentioning that, you know, it is typically possible to, in the sciences and in engineering, to, like, you could go to a national lab and they would pay 25% of your salary. But that is not possible if you're in the arts and humanities and other areas. So it really depends on where you are. So I think, you know, we should really think about the whole university and look at that this opportunity should be there for everyone. That they can take the time. If you're trying to write a book, writing a book, you know, takes more than a year, from what I understand. I have not written a book yet. In fact, I've helped edit something together, and it took 2 years to get it together. So writing a book from scratch is probably going to take more than a year. But typically what happens is that you get it started, but then you get a whole chunk of time to complete it. So I think you got the point there, yeah. The one thing that this is item number 3, so I'll give you a background of what happens, and maybe it doesn't happen in all departments, but when we hire tenure-earning faculty, we do not assign them teaching in either the first semester or sometimes could even be first 2 semesters. Some of them may say, no, I'm going to teach as I come, but I want this teaching, no teaching in the second year. So we have been doing that, and that just enables them to prepare their tenure package, to set up their lab and so on. So what we have put in here, we are calling them research sabbaticals, they could be called anything else, is that we would have each year, each college shall make 5 research sabbaticals available. Now again, we said 5, we can discuss, you know, if it's a small college, you probably, 5 is not, you know, when we look at Creole, which is a college by itself, then that is the size of a department. I think we could do something more which sounds more like the proportion of the number of people. But basically to support their research and towards making progress towards tenure. So this is a 1 semester at full pay. So this is something, again, so I think we could talk about the language here. We could talk, the intent is to give a tenure-earning faculty member 1 semester in which they don't teach. That's basically the intent.
You said tenure-earning?
Tenure-earning. This is only for tenure-earning faculty.
Right. Sabbaticals can only be awarded to people with tenure, so this is like a whole different.
So we can call it research, research.
Yeah. Right.
We understand the concept.
Yeah,
I get the concept.
It's not sabbatical. Our research.
Terminology is going to have to be
massaged. Yeah. Perhaps. Sabbatical is not the right word because I also, to me, Sabbath is 7, so, you know, I'm a stickler for words like
can
that.
Can I ask a question? When you're talking about someone taking either one semester at full pay or 2 semesters at full pay, did you consider giving the dean the ability to select these people rather than a committee then?
No, we think the faculty committee should do that.
Okay, so the faculty committee would determine then the quality of it and allocate the sabbaticals.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Rank them as they do now.
Mm-hmm. The quality.
If they rank the applications, they don't allocate.
That's different than what you said though, because you're saying you can rank them, but you could rank. Well, oh, so you're saying that the top number 1 theoretically would be a 2-semester sabbatical, so you'd have two-semester full-pay sabbaticals, and then there's a one-semester full-pay sabbatical group?
No, I think what the way they would do it is that, so certain faculty members may not even want two semesters, right? They may even ask for one. But then the person who's applying has to justify why they want two semesters. And then the committee has to see whether that's a good assumption. I mean, whether they have made the case.
So if there are five sabbaticals available to the college, you could have two go to one person then for each semester if they want to?
That is not how we were thinking, but I think basically what we're saying is that, so in other words, what you're saying is that if there are so many slots available.
Well,
So many semesters available.
Right, that's what I just want to understand. Yeah. Since it's not full pay, we've lost, the replacement costs are now coming at the department's height, which
right.
I know you now. So
right.
I'm just trying to process, if there's five available, then perhaps someone who got two semesters at full pay would get two of them. Okay, all right, that helps me understand.
We have to go through this. We have to discuss this further.
Understood.
Okay. And again, you know, we wanted to get something going so we can have a discussion and then see where we go. But the intent is to allow people, if they have to come up with a plan. You know, just
Yeah, they do now.
I mean, it has to be a strong plan, right? And so you know, if you're asking for two semesters, you better have a plan that really extends over two semesters.
Well, I would hope so, since that's what you're doing now,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, now what's happening is that some people are not applying, and this is something to encourage people to apply.
Okay.
So, okay. Oh, yeah. So there was something and Charlie, you and I worked hard at it, but I think we...
Line 43.
Yes.
I think you're talking to that, Charlie, is what you mean, right, Chuck? You're talking to Chuck.
Well, because...
Actually, I think the printout is not correct. I'm sorry. Can we just have 1 second to confer?
Yeah.
Turn over.
I actually think this reads...
No, I know. And I left it like that.
Yeah.
I left it for discussion because it is fifth right now.
It is.
But
it is
in
fifth
our
right
proposal,
now.
It should be six.
I know.
Okay.
That's right. And I just wanted to mention to you that this
when
should be six.
When you see R22, it'll be six.
Okay, good. Because I had changed it, but then I said I'll do it this way so that we... Okay, so we
I'm
all
glad
agree.
You did it that way because I think we all...
Yeah.
Chuck also identified the problem at
yeah,
this time.
Okay,
that
so
the
good.
Example is correct, but
good.
The number
so
is
we
wrong.
Agree. Yeah, we agree with that. Yeah,
so
that's why...
43 should be changed to six?
Yes.
As well as 162.
As well as 162, yeah. And I left it with the highlighted just so that...
I'm glad you pointed it out.
Yeah. Okay, fine. So we agree on that, yeah. Okay, then I think... right, so then there was something about... This is 93, line 93. And to... When we discussed it in our caucus, it was important to mention that, you know, if you take... Right now what happens is that whether you go for one semester or two semesters, you have to come back and serve for two semesters. So the proposal here is that you should be asked to serve for the length of time that, so the length of the type of leave that you got. So if you got one semester, then you are expected to be here for at least one semester. And if you got two semesters, yeah. Again, these are things to be discussed. Okay. So the PDL. So PDL, what we wanted, we realized that there are differences. We realized that, you know, these are not just lecturers and instructors, but some of the bargaining unit members may have other appointments. But basically... We are asking for the same, to have a parallel that that they may choose either one semester or two semester. Again, here it is one academic year and at full pay. And then there's a qualification here about 12-month employees may select a spring semester and a summer semester. term, spring or summer term for full pay, or summer term only for full pay. So those were some details that need to be worked out. There's one on line 153, only 12-month employees may apply for a leave during the summer term. So
that's taken out because the 12-month employees are specifically treated in 147. That's shifted to a different
line. Right. And certainly, you know, if you're a 9-month employee, summer leave doesn't make any sense anyway. So it shouldn't be irrelevant. Okay, so I think the changes on line 218, 219, and 221, those four lines, they're basically the same as the other. And I think we're done. Unless there are questions.
No, I say thank you. You've answered a number of the questions that we've asked you about this. We need to read through this and grasp it. I get a good sense of what it is you're asking for us. So thank you for that.
Can we do 10 minutes to talk about?
Yeah, we have to make our 22s. We're going to print some also.
Can you email them to me?
So 10-minute break?
Okay. Yeah, why don't you email it to us?
Break, whatever you want to call it.
So I can go pee now.
Yes.
Thank you. You can stop the recording now that that's good.
Too late.
Now you're going to go.
Okay, we're
good.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks for bearing with
me. Kicking that kid out.
Hilarious. I can't wait to see you.
All right, we are back online. Good to see everybody again. What we would like to do is share with you our proposed 22. I want to keep in mind that we were doing these independently, both working on the same article, so we haven't necessarily addressed the same points, but there are some things that we wanted to point out, which we will. And our intention is to take what you've given us on 22 under advisement, and we'll be looking at that carefully. But we have a couple things that we wanted to make sure that you saw on Article 22. So the first thing that we noticed about Article 22 that we would like to see changed is the word leave needs to come out of here 90% or more of the places where it appears. Because sabbaticals.
Not sabbaticals.
They're not leaves.
They're not leaves. Yeah.
You have an assignment.
Yeah.
And even on what is traditionally called a PDL, you have an assignment. You said, this is what I'm going to do. So you will see in here that we are butchering almost every place the word leave appears. There are a couple places where it stays, and I'll explain why there are a couple places where it stays. And proposing that what the non-tenure track employees who are in unit would apply for, something we'll call assigned professional development responsibilities. So it's an assignment. This is what they're doing for professional development.
Why didn't you call it professional development assignments?
Because the acronym is PDA. I did that first. I admit it.
And PDA.
Great minds think alike. That's why it got a new name. But at least whether we agree on the name right now or not, it's the concept that I want to suggest.
Mm-hmm.
A professional development lead really isn't a leave. There are certain expectations that people are going to be working. There are certain requirements that the university has, like completing the annual conflict of interest, conflict of commitment form. That's still got to be done, whether I'm on what has historically been
That's
called
fine.
A professional development leave, sabbatical, or whatever.
Yeah.
So most of the changes that we have are to remove the word leave.
Mm-hmm.
We did change fifth to sixth in two mm-hmm. places, once on sabbatical, so we both caught that. But on the bottom of this first page, in line 47, you see this is one place where I'm saying leave stays because it's referring to, you know, family and medical leave, parental leave, where people don't have assigned duties that they're expected to complete while they're on that type of real, genuine leave. That's a mm-hmm. good use of the word leave. A couple of minor things that we're doing. When we get to section 22.2, where we talk about the assigned professional development responsibilities, or APDR, as they're referred to here, there's a lot of changes. One substantive change that we've got in here that will be something that I'm sure we'll discuss is we were looking at the APDR being one semester rather than the one semester now at full pay and the three-quarter pay for an academic year. We were looking at that. That is, I believe, the only substantive change that we have included in here. Everything else is really cleaning up
mm-hmm.
this idea of using the word leave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that fifth to sixth was extremely important to us, and
mm-hmm.
I think we're the ones that put that in there, but we've been talking about these things for a long time. We know what the frequency of these things is. The example was correct, the numerical example showing if this happens in this year, this is when you can apply. And it was very clear, it was just wrong, and we both recognize it, and I'm glad we both caught that. So the only other substantive thing there is to, we're proposing that the assigned professional development responsibilities would be one semester.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our 22. We would appreciate your thoughts on what we call what has been PDLs, because I think we feel strongly that leave isn't the right word there, because there are these assignments that people have. They said, this is what I want to do. I want to be assigned to do this for however long the sabbatical or assigned professional development responsibilities period is. That's what they said, this is what I want my assignment to be. So we don't want to call that leave when somebody's got a real
right.
Assignment. Right. But I don't know that we've nailed it on,
yeah.
on what we call it.
Yeah.
My knee-jerk reaction is exactly yours. Professional development assignment is simple. But then when we started looking at what it looked like, it looked a little ugly in print. But if I'm not saying we're
yeah.
not open to that.
Yeah, we can think.
That's why it was changed.
We can, you know, the people who are really good at acronyms, we have to think about that. Remember,
yeah.
Whenever we're applying for some center or something, we're always thinking about it.
Yeah.
So we should be able to come up with something. I think taking out the word leave is fine. I mean, at least personally, but we'll talk about it in our caucus, because you don't want the taxpayer to have the impression that we're on leave
That's
of absence.
That's a good point. We haven't looked at it that way, but you're right.
Yeah. So that's
the optics are not good.
Yeah.
With that word leave.
Leave. Yes. Leave. It just has been used that way, but yeah. Okay. That's not a problem. We'll certainly take a look at that.
Yeah.
But I think we'll discuss this and then we'll get back to you. Yeah.
You know, as I said, we want to take a good look at what you proposed for 22.
Okay.
Also,
we'll do the same.
And we plan to come back
yeah.
With some kind of a response on 22.
Great. Yeah, I think.
Any questions about our 22?
I think we will go through it. And I think if, most of it that I see is change in the wording, and then that one which you had last time too, one semester versus two semesters,
right?
Right.
Can we ask for a reason for the record?
Oh, yeah. So
would you mind just, since
yeah.
this is a new round of looking at this, to tell us why you want to eliminate the professional development assignment thing for a year? Why you want to limit that?
It's a It's a burden on the units when an employee, particularly an academic unit, where the employees are teaching, and sometimes teaching four courses a semester, to have to replace somebody teaching eight courses is very, very difficult on the units. And they have to come up with the funds to do that. And it's difficult. I had a conversation not too long ago with one of our deans who has an employee who's going to be on, I guess we can call it PDL this year, but until we agree on something else. And it's a real hardship. The dean had nothing to say about whether this is something that's really going to benefit their college or not. So, and then to be gone for a full year and have to be replaced to that extent, it's a hardship on them.
But the dean has...
With the sabbaticals, the colleges have some say. The faculty are providing their input, they're ranking the sabbatical applications that go before the dean.
Yeah.
And the dean can make changes, it says, but the dean has to consult with the committee and the employee in order to do that. On the professional development leads, that's not an option. Why is that
the case?
Because that's the way it says it in here.
So how does it work?
There's a committee that makes the assignments, basically. Says these are the best ones.
But doesn't it run parallel for lecturers and instructors, it should be very parallel to the other one.
It should be, but the language didn't make it through, probably.
Uh-huh.
What language is missing?
We took it from the blue book and then...
I know, but what's missing in the PDL process that would make it, it is a faculty committee that ranks the applications.
So,
and then according to how many there are and how the ranking is, they're assigned, correct?
So maybe what we should do is point to where it is in the sabbatical part.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
That
what is the part in sabbatical?
I'm trying to look and see right now.
Then, because, again, it's only a question of, who needs it, and... Isn't it better for the unit if they're gone for, right now, if they're gone for two semesters, then they retain 25% of their salary?
Not if that 25% doesn't cover the cost of replacing them.
It usually does, though, doesn't it? Given what we hire adjuncts for?
In your college, perhaps.
Yeah, but not all get paid the same amount. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a challenge. That's mm-hmm. why we've proposed
so,
that it be one semester.
So what we are wondering is that if we made the language, we should look in there, if we made the language parallel. Because I don't think what we're saying is that everybody who applies for a PDL should get two semesters. It should really depend on the quality of the application.
Just like for sabbatical.
Yeah, somebody has to really justify that. So, for example, I have a colleague right now who is on PDL, and he's writing a book. And he needs, this is in physics, so, and he needs it. And he's gotten it, so it's really great. So those are the cases that I'm thinking of. I think PDL in particular, if you have still the 75%, people are more likely to take the one semester. I think we should get some data on that. What do people typically ask for? My feeling is they ask for one semester and not two.
Oh, no, they ask for two all the time.
They ask for two?
Yeah. Line 77, the mm-hmm. language, that's where the language is about the dean consulting and not giving appointments. And it's just not been duplicated in line 197. I think that's... Again, I've got a headache,
it's okay.
So I'm trying to...
What do I did right here? On 67, right?
No, 77.
77, okay.
And then 197 is, I think, where that would, in theory, if you were going to copy-paste kind of thing,
mm-hmm,
that's
mm-hmm.
where that would go.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Would that address your concern, Chuck?
They'll have to...
It would address part of the concern. One concern is the input that the college... or department would have The other is the cost of replacing somebody for two semesters versus one. Those are both issues.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's fine.
Yeah, we could look into that. So, Chuck, when I was chair, I would get a list of people who've applied for, who have been approved for sabbatical. And then I would be asked whether the department can afford this, you know, because there, let's say four people, like there are this semester, there are four people who are gone. The chair could say that no, all four of you cannot take it. Mm-hmm. And so that was possible.
Mm-hmm. And it's delayed up to 1 year.
Yeah.
There's a limit, too, about how many people in one department can take it.
Yeah.
So that helps.
The
chair cannot say that you can't take it. You cannot take it now.
Correct. Right. No,
you have to take it next semester.
But there's something about you have to work it out so that not every semester you have four people gone.
Mm-hmm. So it gets rolled to
further,
but that has to do also with the ranking of the sabbaticals too, who gets first dibs
kind of thing. And so I guess my question is, if those mechanisms would be added to the process of the ranking and selection of the professional development leave, would that address the concerns so that you could agree to, I'm not asking you now to answer, but that you could agree to make PDL more parallel to the sabbatical at a time when, in fact, many of the instructors and lecturers are much more parallel to assistant and associate professors?
Well, there are some differences, as we pointed out, between the sabbaticals and the PDLs. And I think to the extent that they are more similar, that would be helpful, but I'm not saying because of the different roles that different types of employees have, I'm not saying even if we made the processes perfectly parallel that it would solve all the issues that we have. But I think it could be a step in the right direction.
One thing to look at, perhaps.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you for suggesting that.
And for PDL, do you make a distinction, or should, if we were to make a distinction, because there are two types, there are lecturers and instructors, who are more like your tenured faculty, and then there are other professionals who also fall in that category, right? And so, you know, sometimes what you may have in mind are people who are needed. When you say that, how could you do without such a person, are you talking about a lecturer or instructor, or are you talking about someone who is in distance learning or some other
areas?
I've
heard from both.
You've heard from both.
I've heard more about instructors and lecturers from deans.
Mm-hmm.
But having run an associate dean's office for 10 years and having the director of that office go on a PDL, it was painful.
Mm-hmm.
That was one semester, but it was painful.
Uh-huh.
Not only financially, but the burden on others. Yeah. You're talking
when you take the leader of the office
out,
the person that's really doing the day-to-day management of the staff.
Uh-huh.
That's a big deal.
And what position was that?
Director of Academic Advising in Engineering.
Uh-huh.
I remember that.
Uh-huh.
The associate dean had to step up.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
That was a non-unit.
It's probably quite rare, though, no? That's a director position like that is.
Directors are out of unit.
It's a very vivid memory for me.
Yeah, directors are out of unit.
But they're out of unit.
That's an out of unit person. I don't know that it falls under this at all.
A program director would be in unit, so it would be a different, perhaps,
right,
situation.
I mean, PDL is for in unit instructors and lecturers and professionals.
There was
are
a
non tenured
PDL program. That's what he's.
Yeah, but that's not what we're going to go for.
I know.
What
we're
bargaining.
It was a crosswire thing.
Right.
So.
Yeah, okay.
I'm still remembering the pain.
I know, but. What
even
we're,
I got the wrong class.
Well, what we're bargaining is.
I know.
Yeah.
We made a mistake.
Who's.
Now, let's get back to that. So we understand, I mean, so, you know, we also do not want hardships to be brought on the department because it affects the entire. All bargaining unit members, right? Because people have to pick up the burden. So this has to be done in a manner in which it is not noticed. And so then the question is, how do we make it parallel? So for example, if a lecturer is taking, say, two semesters off, enough?
No.
They're not taking
assigned responsibility.
I'm sorry.
Well, they're on leave
off of
from
teaching. Off of teaching, but they're doing all these other very important activities. Yes, yes. And then you know, enough resources have to be made available, right? So we have to ensure that so that those courses can be covered. Right. So that's so we'll talk about that and see how that can be ensured. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I want to do one more
thing
that I asked to be put on the agenda. I'm sure your bargaining unit is familiar that the Board of Governors is looking at a new regulation for post-tenure review. I think that regulation could be enacted in November. I don't know for sure. I don't know what the final regulation would look like. But if that happens, we may be coming to you saying we need to open Articles 10 and 14.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea what's going on? Do you have any hints that you can give us?
Across the nation, there are a number of states that are looking very carefully at post-tenure review, and they want to make it a more substantial review. In our case, every 5 years, much more substantial than a series of 5 one-year evaluations based on our AESPs. It'd be more expensive.
Yeah.
Exactly what it's going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know, but it would be more rigorous. Right now, what we say in our CBA is every 3 years, we look at how people are doing on their evaluation of their AESPs. If everything's fine on the AESPs, we assume everything's okay. There are very few faculty that have ever been put on performance improvement plans. There are a couple of them that I know of right now. I don't think the community we serve is satisfied with that, and there's going to be likely a substantially more rigorous evaluation that take place every 5 years. Don't know what it's going to look like, but if there's anything that changes when we just going from 3 years to 5 years, we've got an issue in Article 10.
But really, in a way, you do wonder if we are doing the ASEPs and the evaluations every year. What further burden do they want to impose on everyone?
Well, we're going to have to look and see what that,
right,
that
because,
regulation looks
because,
like.
Because basically what you're saying is that what they would like to see is that evaluations be done, just like you're giving tenure to people, do it every 5 years. And so that's going to be very interesting how they want to do that.
And they're not supplying any more money for
it. And they're not supplying any more money for it. And the other is, Are they going to be providing some rewards as well?
Yes, yeah, that's in there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's in the draft that I've seen. Which at some time Monday or Tuesday, it was actually posted on the BOG website.
Yeah,
I
think
this
I
morning,
did see. I did
after
see.
I'd said I'm going to talk about it,
I have it right here. If you
Well, I've got it, but it's not on the website
right now. Right.
No,
that's good. So we.
I'm not surprised that we've also.
I've actually already informed the BU, so they already know about it.
So I think basically, you know, we will, if it were to come to that, we will, of course, talk about it.
Yeah. So
and,
just a heads up, we want you to know that that's something that we're thinking we may have to do to add to.
You'll be getting a lot of money to get this job done.
Gosh, I wish.
We're looking forward to all our additional promotions.
Right. Not our additional 10%.
Well, is what we ask, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that there's some information is getting out there, and the bargaining unit is aware of it because it is is going on.
Our president is on this.
So is ours.
So should we end the meeting? We can chat.
Yes.
A little bit.
No, I think.
Yeah.
I think we're
done,
good.
Right?
Yeah.
I think. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Appreciate
you
that.
Very
good
much.
Meeting.
Thank you.
Really
appreciate
that. Yes.
Nice
to meet
you.
Good to meet
you.
And
you.
Welcome to UCF.
Thank